Pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Morning, folks. Back in the saddle again. Yeah, back home after a great weekend in Knoxville, Tennessee, home of the Tennessee Volunteers. A lot of orange every place I looked. We were here at the Watchman Conference, and it was very, very impactful, very, very, really, really good. Maybe we'll share a little bit of that here this morning. A lot of things on the plate. Oh my goodness, there's a lot of things going on. Hey, I want to give you a little bit of exciting news. Probably won't be exciting to you guys, but it is to me. My good friend, our good friend, Dr. Patrick Johnston, who's a family physician here in the Zanesville, Ohio area, is also a prolific author, to the point he's written, I don't know, 6 or 7 novels. I guess you call them action-packed novels. And he's been trying for about a year, a little over a year, to turn one of his novels into a movie. Now, y'all chuckle, right? Ha, movie. I don't know if you know this or not. I say that a lot. I'm going to try to stop that habit. The movie God's Not Dead made like $65 million. Christian movie, God's Not Dead. And then you guys know some other Christian movies that are out there. I don't go to movies, but you guys could probably rattle them off better than I can. There's a big, big market for Christian movies. Well, Doc Johnson wrote a book and then wrote a screenplay and began about a year and a half ago to try to turn this thing into a movie. He called it the Y movie because of the Y city. Zanesville's a Y bridge, Y, the letter Y. But has since changed it to The Reliant and has raised an incredible amount of money, and he is doing a honest-to-goodness movie and begins filming today. Now, even as far as 3 months ago, I thought Doc was kind of spitting in the wind, if you know what I'm talking about, you know, thinking, first of all, okay, you're going to get this movie made, then how are you going to get it into box offices? Facing the Giants, that was another big Christian movie. Anybody know any other big Christian movies out there while my brain's working? You guys aren't Christian movie guys? Dylan, you helping me out there?
Oh, there's too many, and most of them are bad, so I don't remember them.
Well, this one isn't going to be bad. This one is called The Reliant. It starts filming today, and then my socks about got knocked off when Doc Johnson released 6 weeks ago, when he began to sign his talent, the ones who were going to star in the movie. I'm figuring he's going to have me in it, and him, and his daughter, and his wife, and we're going to make a movie. Be a good movie, but probably wouldn't get it into the theaters. Well, this movie is really, really unique because it includes in the movie, the basis of the movie is there's an economic collapse, and it follows this family through this economic collapse to the point where they have to flee their home into the woods and survive in the woods. Now, without giving away the whole part of the story, it ends up the kids are trying to survive on their own. And it has guns in it. It has prepping in it. It has all this edgy Christianity stuff in it that nobody has ever done. You know, you make these Christian movies, they're all feel good, gushy, gushy relationship type movie. This ain't this kind of movie. It's called The Reliant. It's action packed, the guns, prepping. Anyway, it starts filming today. About 6 weeks ago, I came out of my chair when Dr. Patrick Johnson announced the star of the show was going to be. Does anybody know who the number one Christian star in America is today? If you wanted to go out and get the number one box office draw, does anybody know who that is in America today? Did you guys see God's Not Dead? No? Kevin Sorbo? who used to be played Hercules on TV. You remember him? I don't know if you remember him or not. He is the number one box office, Christian box office draw in America. He is starring in this movie. He's the lead role in this movie. And then Doc goes out and signs a guy. I scream, I couldn't believe it. You remember the Boz, Brian Bosworth, the linebacker from Oklahoma? The Boz is starring in this movie. Now, Brian Bosworth has had a huge spiritual transformation, firm believer in Jesus Christ, but a name guy, the Boz, is going to be in the movie. And then they just signed this week as one of the musical artists who's going to be in it is a 11-time Christian Grammy Award winner, whatever that ever is, Nicole C. Mullen, who did I Know My Redeemer Lives. Are you guys familiar with it? What I'm trying to get you to see is Doc has lined up a real starring cast. It's unbelievable. And we start filming today, during the month of October, in Zanesville, Coshocton, Warsaw, other different places. And guys, this is going to be something. This is really, really going to be something because it plays into exactly some of what we saw this weekend. Larry was there, and Sarge isn't with us today because he's probably still down there in Knoxville flying home today. This whole idea of prepping and using guns and defending yourself, and they say this is going to be a cutting-edge movie. So keep your eyes open for that. I'm going to try to get involved with that. I get a cameo in it. Doc's going to let me be in it. I get to wear my hat in a gun store with Kevin Sorbo. But I don't get to say anything because the way the rules are all set up, if you speak in a movie, they got to pay you big bucks. You got to be part of the union and all that stuff. So I don't get to speak, but I get to wear my cross hat. Michelle and I get to be in the gun store. That's going on. So we're excited about all that. Yeah.
I'm ready to be in it.
Well, they're looking for extras too, man. So if you want to get... I'll get you in as an extra because there'll be all kinds of extras at different places throughout the thing. But it starts filming today. It's amazing. It's amazing. Kevin Sorbo, Hercules, God's Not Dead. For those of you who didn't see the movie, God's Not Dead. He was the professor in God's Not Dead. And so exciting stuff going on in little old Coshocton, Ohio. And Kevin Sorbo's last movie, I think I just told you, $65 million. It's $65 million. There's a real market for Christian movies out there. Cool? Anybody got anything for the good of the group here before we dive into some stuff today? As usual, because I was away this weekend, I might have missed some stuff that's going on. I try to keep up with it as best I can. Anything slid under the door that I missed? Anybody at all? Nope.
I've got to do my. I need to do my taxes.
Oh, me too, Roger. Me too. I'm going to get those done. Hey, how about that one, by the way? They're after Trump on that now, aren't they? For not paying his taxes. What did he lose? $619 million in 1 year. See, we're mad he doesn't lose it, pay his taxes. Well, how would you like to lose $619 million? Huh? Oh my goodness, it's so wicked. It's all so wicked. Everything that's going on and. And it's fun to sit back and watch it. And as I started to say, by the way, there's a phone number right in front of Larry's head. If you want to jump in here, you got anything to say, 740-323-0871, 740-323-0871. You want to jump in here, you can. We'll try to throw you on the air the best that we can. We were at this Hear the Watchman conference, and we heard about tinfoil hat Christianity. I don't know how to explain it, except it's not tinfoil hat. It's not. We had guys make presentations on the financial situation. We had people make presentations on the poisoning of the DNA that's going on. We had people make presentations about mind control and satanic ritual abuse, all these things that we know are going on, trafficking in children, what's really happening, what that whole thing's about. We had people make presentations about, oh, my goodness, they're going on CERN and what's going on with CERN. Do you guys know that? I know you don't know this. We don't know this. And this is part of my dilemma. We were having a little bit of chat before we went on the air today. I don't know how to expose this stuff to you folks without making you think I'm crazy. Anthony Patch did the most unbelievable presentation on CERN. Anybody know what CERN is? couple of us do.
Is that the hydron accelerator?
Yes, sir, brother. And you know why they're doing it, Dylan? They're trying to bore into the other another dimension. They're trying to open up the spiritual. You think I'm crazy? You coach, you're crazy. Well, you can think we're crazy. This is going on. This is going on. And it all lines up. See, they take the Bible and they say, look, here's what the Bible says is going to happen. Now, look here. Look at this. What do you think about this? And so my great dilemma is, how do I help you guys, those who are watching right now, understand the bigger picture of what's going on without you thinking I'm a nut? Because first thing you want to do is turn it off. That can't be true. My pastor never said anything about that. My denomination didn't say anything. And I took something to my pastor and shared it with him, and he just said it's all bogus. So, coach, you must be crazy. Larry, help me out there. You were there. Had you ever been to a conference like that, Larry?
Never been to one like that before, that's for sure.
And what's your reaction, Larry?
A whole lot of information, most of which I trust. Now, I don't say that I distrust that other of it. It's just I haven't digested it yet.
It's a lot to digest.
Now, some things like the fellow that spoke about, you know, he about the nuclear plans and the nuclear position and everything. That because the period he was involved with the nuclear planning stage of the United States and what they were planning to do and stuff was immediately behind the one I was involved in it. And I was just an NCO in the Army, but I was a staffer for one of the guys that sat at the table for making the European war plans. And so the staffers do more of the work and know more about what's going on than the people sitting at the table.
And so, Larry, what we know is this, that you can scratch your head and say, huh, you know, 25 years ago, we were kind of working on something like that. And now we're seeing 25 years later with computers and instant communication that a lot of this crazy stuff's going on. Hey, folks, listen, I just got to tell you this. We don't understand how evil is. We don't understand. If you think, if you can turn to the book of Revelation and you can read in the book of Revelation about the battle of Armageddon and all that imagery and everything we find in the book of Revelation, well, do we think that's just make-believe? Do we really think, go to Haggai 2. Said who? Go to Haggai 2. Haggai 2. You say, I don't know if I've ever opened that ever. Well, I don't know either, but I come down here and my Bible's already open to Haggai 2. And nobody shared this. Nobody shared it with me. We live in think of this, guys. Hey, JR, how long we've been around? Man been around, you think? Well, I mean, what does the Bible tell us? How long has man been around?
6, 7, 8,000 years.
Yeah. We've been somewhat organized maybe for two. Would you agree with that? For maybe 2,000 years, we've been somewhat organized. And would you look at, remember the Bible tells us that knowledge will increase, right? Would you?
9,000.
Okay, 9,000. Let's have this discussion here real quick. Can anybody tell me some major leaps of technology that we have made just in your lifetime? Things that we've been around for 6,000 years or 9,000 years or however many thousands of years you want to. We went from the Stone Age. Can you tell me some absolutely unbelievable things that have happened technologically wise just in your lifetime?
The internet.
Boy, the internet for sure.
Cell phones.
Cell phones. How about this? FaceTime. And talk, feel like I'm George Jetson. I can dial somebody and look at them and talk to them.
Wi-Fi.
The Wright brothers. When did the Wright brothers first fly? When was that?
Was that in your lifetime?
Well, no, probably not. Well, I had a previous life, JR.
You are experienced.
Yeah.
GPS. But
let's say the 20th century then. What was the 20th century? Let's say in my lifetime, we went from I don't know, seven, what size were those planes? 707s?
So now they got the first jet engine was made in my lifetime, and then look where it's at now.
We went from mailing a letter to talking instantaneously to Mike out in Washington. We don't even think anything about it. And the technological advances in our lifetime, if we could pull back and we could think and we could look about it. Steven's on there. He showed me how on my cell phone, I don't know if you guys know this, on my cell phone, I can open up my cell phone on my thumbprint and put my thumbprint on my phone, and then I don't have to type in those numbers. You guys know you could do that? I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know you could do that. And to know that we're having instantaneous worldwide communication and people are listening to it. They're listening in on it. This instantaneous worldwide communication. I remember when you wanted to talk. I remember when you had long distance phone calls. I mean, I don't know if we still do. I remember when I went to Otterbein College in 1971, when I called home, I took a quarter and I put it in the phone and I called collect and my parents picked it up, because if I didn't do that, I had to have enough quarters to put in it. That's in my lifetime, to the point that a six-year-old's now carrying around a cell phone, an instant communication. But see, they're even lying to us on this, because this isn't a cell phone. This is a computer that you can call on. It's not a cell phone. It's a computer. We can do any. I can talk to this thing. How far to Knoxville, Tennessee? Ah, Dave, Knoxville, Tennessee is 346 miles as the crow flies. It's like, what is going on? And because of that, we are seeing, oh, guys, we're seeing what was meant for good, or whoever created something for good, is now leading to destruction. Somebody mentioned earlier nuclear energy. I don't even know. I'll confess to you, I don't even know how it works. I don't even know how it works. We had that Anthony Patch getting up there talking about CERN and how they're trying to break into the new dimension and colliders and neutrons and protons and exons and bosons. And I cheated in physics. I don't even know what they're talking about. But when he's making that presentation, I look up there and say, wow, wow, this could be going on. Wow. And L.A. Marzulli gets up there and shows us pictures. Oh, my goodness. Of a 9-foot skeleton. He has a picture of it. Let's see, we want to laugh. Oh, sure, sure. Well, I've always been tall people. Take it from a short people. I know what tall people is. And when you see a guy 6 foot tall, 3 feet shorter than a guy he's standing behind, there's something going on there. Now, you ready for this one to blow you away? You don't have to believe it. Laugh it off if you want to. How? Remember when you watched all the Indian movies when you were a kid? And one Indian would come in and he'd run in and he'd meet John Wayne. John Wayne go, how? Remember? You guys know where that came from? You know where that came from? Back in early days, when there were giants in the land, they had 6 fingers. And you held up your hand to say how, to show you only had 5. You don't have to believe it, but it's the truth. So I come back to that dilemma. How do we help broaden this thing? Guys, I want you to know, this is so deep in my faith. It's so deep in my faith. It hasn't scared me. I'm not scared at all. It just makes everything make so much more sense to me. When was the last time you went to church and were challenged about anything other than your own personal lifestyle? When were you ever challenged about anything? I'm in Haggai. Did I say that? I'm just going to read it because that's where the Bible was open and I had something underlined that caught my eyes. And so let's see what Haggai says. I'm going to begin number one. In the seventh month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, so in other words, he says, go tell everybody, will you? Go tell the people in authority, tell everybody this. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? I'm kind of saying that today. Remember what America used to be like? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? I'm talking about the moral condition of America. Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, the high priest. And be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of the host. According to the word that I covenanted with you. There it is. He's made a covenant with us. When you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. By the way, Old Testament. Don't be afraid. Look at everything that's going on, but don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I get my football teams together. Our football teams together. I'd give them a scouting report. And the last thing I'd do, and I'd give them a scouting report, I said, don't be afraid. Let's not be afraid of these guys. We know what they do. We can beat them. We can't be afraid. Verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once, and in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Time out. What's that mean, you think, Rich? Is that just, what's the word they use? Is that just, my brain just went dead. Allegory? Is that just allegory, Rich?
No, it's going to be a beautiful thing.
It's going to be a beautiful thing, but what's he going to shake? The heavens? Yep. What? Going to shake the heavens? Yeah. And then I'm going to shake the earth. I'm going to shake the sea. I'm going to shake the dry land. Let's see. What's going on in the heavens right now that many are concerned about? Are we even aware of it here? Huh? Stephen?
Asteroids.
Well, what's the name of that new planet they've discovered? Stephen, do you know what that is?
Nibiru.
Yeah, Planet X on its way to America. They say they're not telling us. Oh, coach, you're full of it. Okay, well, Lord says he's going to shake the heavens. And then he's going to shake the earth, right? Going to shake the earth and the sea and the dry land. Earthquakes, floods, tsunamis, Fukushima. And I will shake all nations. And the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. It's going to be good, Rich. It's going to be ugly, but it's going to be good. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. We believe that Jesus Christ is returning. Do we believe that? Now, if we believe he's returning, how is he returning? What's it going to look like when he returns? And it's going to be something cataclysmic's going on. We say, well, coach, he has to come back just because of abortion. And he has to come back just because of what's going on and with gay marriage. Guys, listen. Shocking news. God's timetable is not set by America. God is not being moved because we legalized gay marriage. Judgment might come to America as a result of it, but he ain't up there rubbing his hands and, oh, well, that does it. Oh, look what's going on in America. Because see, we Americans are so myopic. We are so inward focused. We're so self-focused that we can't understand what's going on in the larger picture of the whole cosmos. Remember, the Lord said that it were possible the very elect themselves will be deceived. And he also warned us of this, that what was coming upon the earth had never been upon the earth, and men's heart would be failing them for fear. Roger, can you even imagine what that is? Is the fear that's going to fail your heart, Roger, is that just going to be some snake crawling up on your porch? Is that what it's going to be? Or is it going to be something happening in the heavens and in the earth and in the oceans that's going to bring about the most cataclysmic event in the world? What's that cataclysmic event? The actual destruction of the world. Do we believe that? Do you believe that? Because see, if we're just focusing on Republicans and Democrats and conservatives and liberals and Hillary and Trump and making America great again. We're missing the whole big picture. Yes, Stephen.
I was just going to say when some of the experience that I've had with trying to share some of this stuff is I've had Christian brothers and sisters say that you're focused too much on Satan's kingdom and you're not focused on the love of God and the grace of God, being able to save souls. And so that's my personal experience when you try to open up people. But you said that word right there, even the elect may be deceived. That is one of the number one reasons why we are why I believe a lot of what you're talking about is so I don't know how to say it.
Well, Stephen, the Lord told us to not be ignorant of his devices, didn't he? The Lord told us, don't let this guy fool you. How many times in the Bible, if you would just Google the word deceived, just Google the word deceived, because Satan's greatest weapon is deception, right? Roger, were you going to say something?
Well, I was just going to say I like what you said about America. See, I've been raised and that the whole return end times is about America and what's going on here. When what you said is probably more true, we're probably going to get judgment. We're such a small part of the entire world, let alone the universe. But we as Americans truly believe the Bible revolves around us.
Yes, sir, we do. We do. And it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. God's got a whole world. He has a whole world he's working with and dealing with. And he has a universe. And we're a small speck. But we believe we're the main menu item.
So let's stay in Haggai a second. Okay? And Jared, let's go to, I hate to read stuff out of context, but I'm trying to make a point here. That's why I'm doing it. Let's go to verse 19, Jared, Haggai. Scroll down here a little bit. And just listen to this. Is the seed yet in the barn? What's he asking? Is the seed yet in the barn? What's he saying? Are you ready, boys? Huh? Have you prepared? You got your seed in the barn? Remember, Woody Hayes always had a saying after every Friday football practice when the Buckeyes were getting ready to play on Saturday. He would always say, well, boys, the hay's in the barn. Meaning, we're prepared. We've done everything we can do. And isn't it funny that the Lord says that is the hay in the barn, boys? Hay's in the barn. In other words, huh, we did all we could. Are you prepared? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth, from this day will I bless you. Since you're prepared, I'm going to bless you, boys. Here's where I want you to go. And again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai in the 420th day of the month, said, listen, go tell Zerubbabel, the president, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. You tell him, I'll overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I'll destroy the strength of kingdoms of the heathen. I will overthrow their chariots and those that ride in them and the horses and the riders shall come down, every one of them by the sword of his brother. Wow. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, got to go up a little bit for me, Jared. In that day, say the Lord of hosts, will I take, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, say the Lord of hosts. So something is getting, he say, get ready, boys, because something is going to happen. And that's what I anticipate in my spirit. And if we keep our perspective only on America and Trump and Hillary, which is a diversion, we're missing this bigger stuff. I think it's going on. So I'm going to turn to my buddy Michael out there in Washington, because Michael, you always got something pretty profound to say. What do you think, brother?
Well, I think that we don't really understand the Bible and what it really says, and it's a different concept than we are used to, because we think everything is built around America, like Roger was saying, and it isn't. It's built around the Middle East, and where is all the problems going on? It's in the Middle East.
And so, Jared, let me stop you right there a second, Michael, because I want people to understand. Like the other day, I did a show about Jews and fake Jews and all that. I want to do some more of that. Listen, there's a difference between the Jewish people and the nation of Israel, specifically Jerusalem. Why is Jerusalem significant? Because he said that's where he's coming back. That's where he's going to put his foot down there. So that's significant. I don't want anybody to think that I don't think that it is. Sorry, Michael, go ahead.
No, that's good, because that's where it's all at. And see, we don't study history. We especially don't study the history of what has happened in the church and its separation from the Jewish people, which went way back into the 600s and the 300s, where there was a real separation because they wouldn't accept the Messiah. And they were put into what you call the diaspora, or the spreading out. They were destroyed in Israel in the year 70 when the Romans took over and spread them to the earth. And in 1948, according to the Bible, in one day, a nation was rebuilt. So God is doing something still with the Jewish people, which does influence what's going on. But we look at it from a totally different perspective. We look at it from, you know, what we are done.
That's right.
The thing is that we still don't understand that we have a concept that doesn't always fit with what God is doing.
Amen. We've Americanized it.
Getting back in touch with what God is doing, yep, so that we have a proper perspective. That's what you're trying to say. Anyway.
That's what I am. We've Americanized the gospel. We think God was an American, more specifically a Republican. That for most of us, that's where our understanding stops.
And we think that.
Go ahead.
And we think that Jesus was white and looked like us, but in reality, he was a Jew.
Yeah.
And everything he talked about was from the scriptures, the original scriptures, which you find in the Septuagint and all that.
I can't believe how you're leading me. This is like we set this up, Michael. It's like we set it up. Larry, I know you're sitting there. You always have something pretty interesting to add. What say you, as Bill O'Reilly would say?
Well, you know, you were talking about the homosexual situation in the United States is not the trigger for God's timing. It may be a trigger for some judgment, but it's
on
not
us.
The trigger
it's
for
on us.
Right. But there is a trigger. I believe it's in the book of Revelation. You know, John sees these martyrs and it's revealed to him that nothing's going to happen until the number of martyrs is completed. So God does have a martyr trigger.
He does. He does.
But it's not anything to do with, you know, it is.
Okay, so thank you, Michael, for segueing here for me. A surgeon said, amen, great show. We all need to hear this. Praise the Lord. Let's come out of some darkness. You want to come out of some darkness? Somebody was asking me the other day, or could you answer this? Again, guys, could you answer this question that I was asked? Oh, yeah, well, Coach, if we all came from Adam and Eve, where did the races come from? Now, how many think the average person sitting in a church in America today could answer that question? That's pretty basic, isn't it? Isn't that pretty basic that we ought to be able to explain it? How we have Chinese and Indonesian and what the heck? What? Huh? We don't have any idea. Well, we know it has to do with the Tower of Babel, right? We do know that. But wait a minute. At the flood, everything was destroyed. And then afterwards, we get different races. What's going on? How'd that happen? We never think about it, do we? We never think about it. Well, hey, Jared, pop up there, third from the bottom. Explain Shem, Ham, and Jephthah. It's Free Man Institute. This chart is amazing, guys. I want to take it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but we're going to make it available to you. Here, Noah had three sons. This is after the flood. This is where the races came from. Noah, go down just a little bit, Jared, I think. I'm sorry. Go back to the top. I said that wrong, buddy. I'm sorry. There they are. These are the children of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. How many Christians know that, you think? How many Christians even know that? He had three sons. And out of these three boys comes all the nations of the world in the repopulation. I want to try to take you through it very, very quickly, and we'll make sure that you get this link. Go on down here, Jared. So who is Ham? Ham. There he is, the youngest son of Noah. Ham was the youngest son of Noah, from whom sprang the western and southwestern nations known to the Hebrews. His name first occurs in Genesis 5:32, where, as in 6:10 and elsewhere, it occupies a second place in Genesis. Ham is described as the father of Canaan. This is Noah's children. Ham, as a nationality, 30 nations came out of Ham. The name given in the Psalms, there they are, goes from to Egypt as a descendant of the Ham, son of Noah. Shem, listen, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Ham, Shem means dusky, dusky. Now, when you were thinking about a dusky person, what would they look like? Is a black guy dusky? Or is somebody sort of well-tanned? They would be dusky, wouldn't they? So Shem's known as dusky. And Japheth is known as fair. We're talking skin colors here. Don't ask me how it happens. And suppose that Ham meant, as improbable, black or dark. This is supported by the evidence of Hebrew and Arabic, in which the word Shaman means to be hot and to be black, the latter significant being derived from the former. Following me, guys? So let's go down here. You can read this. I'm not going to read it to you. I'm trying to help us to understand. Number three, the meaning of words. That Ham is connected with the name of the native name of Egypt, Chem, or in full Paton Chem, the land of Egypt. Ham represented the land of Egypt, and nations came out of Ham. There's number four. It's going to tell you the ones that came out of it. Go on down. Then the descendants of Ham. That tells you who the descendants of Ham were. And Ham had four sons. Hold up a little bit, Jared. I'm sorry. I'd rather me read and spend all this time. You guys can read. We'll send you the link. The descendants of Ham. First on the list are the darkest, or Cush, or the Ethiopians, after which was the Mitzrayim, or Egypt, and then Libyan, the Canaan last. The sons of the descendants of each of these are taken in turn. And it's noteworthy that some of them, like the Ethiopians and the Canaanites, spoke Semitic, not Hamitic, languages. Go on down, Jared. Let's go to the next one. I don't want to get buried on this stuff. So he had four sons. Mizraim, Cush, Put, and Canaan. Tells who they are. The curse of Canaan. We'll keep on going. Abraham changed his name. And why that's significant, he changed his name. Then we come to Shem. Remember I talked to you yesterday or Friday or whenever that was about anti-Semitic, Semitic. It comes from Shem. Noah's son, Shem. He was the eldest of Noah's sons, from whom the Jews, as well as the Shemitic nations in general, descended. When giving the names of Noah's three sons, Shem is always mentioned first. And though the elder in Shem, the brother of Japheth, the elder, is explained as referring to Shem. This is not the, anyway, I'm getting stuck. So who is Shem? Shem are the white races. The white races are Shem. Who are Ham? They're the dark races, Hamites, Shemites, Semites, Hamites. Hey, Jews ain't Semites. Sorry. Jews weren't white. They were dusky. Didn't we just see that? They were dusky. Go on down. Where'd we get all these white Jews all of a sudden? Keep on going down. One more. And then there's Japheth. And you know who Japheth becomes? He becomes the Orientals. The Orientals come out of Japheth. Now, don't ask me how it happened, but it's very clear in the book. This is how the whole thing happened. And they grew out of that. Go on down, Jared. I'm sorry. And it's going to show us the seven sons of Japheth. There they are, the Greek, the Romans, the Romance, the French, the Scythians, the Slavs, the Russians, the Bulgarians, the Bohemians, the Poles, the Slavics, Croatians, the Indians, the Iranic, Medes, Persians, right? Russia, Celtic, Gomer, not Gomer Pyle, on down. So there we are. Go back up. So there it shows after the flood where all these people and languages ended up. Remember when the Lord dispersed them, gave them different languages? Here it is. Amazing, huh? Make comments. Doesn't, you don't have to comment. Didn't know, right? Come on. 14 nations came out of Japheth, it says right there. 14 different nations came out of him. Seven sons of Japheth. Look what came out of him. Scroll back up the top second there, Jared.
Coach, it just shows you that we really don't know the Bible.
We don't.
Like we claim we do.
We don't.
Because we don't know the original sources, and we don't understand really what is contained there. We've gotten the church has become a business. I'm sorry. That's the way I see it. And you don't get into the depth of what God really tells us about life. And it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, back in the garden, between the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And we have chosen, basically, to follow the knowledge of good and evil instead of searching out the tree of life, which God originally planned for. That's why he sent his son to get us back on track. But even getting us back on track, we keep going in the opposite direction of what he wanted us to do.
And isn't it amazing? They continue to focus on division and on race. You know, they say we're all children of Adam. We all came from Adam and Eve. That's true. But more specifically, who do we all come from? Noah! We all descended from Noah. Oh my goodness, which makes it possible then for the second Adam, who is the second Adam, Jesus came. And now we have the opportunity to all be children of Jesus. All become children of Jesus. Man, oh man, this is unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable. So I want to make this focus because I think it's important, really important. Semites are more than just the Jews. Jews maybe could be considered to be Shemites, but probably not. Probably not. And most of the Jews that we see in America today, hey, Rich, most of the Jews we see in America today, what color are they?
White.
White. And what were they supposed to be?
Dusky.
Dusky. Remember I was talking about the Khazar Jews and the Ashkenazic Jews, and they went over to Russia, and then all of a sudden they became white. Now we got the world full of white Jews.
There's Jews in China. There's Jews in different parts of the world. There's even black Jews.
Yes, that's right.
They've all intermarried in different ways.
That's right. So the bloodline Jew isn't the pure bloodline. Guys, the pure bloodline Jew stopped with Jesus. The purpose of the Jewish bloodline was to bring a deliverer, and it did it, and it stopped. It stopped. So you make people nervous when I say there's nothing special about the Jews. I made a comment when I was speaking this weekend about that. As the Jews are just as lost as the Muslims. I don't know if it went over real well. Because we've been taught that there's something very, very special about the Jewish people. And there is something very special about Jerusalem. Something very special about Israel. But I don't know if there's anything real special about the folks that live there. Am I safe saying that?
Here's another dimension, though, about the Jews. God is faithful. When he sets something in place, he remains faithful to it.
Amen.
So he is still faithful to the Jews for what they brought forth as the Savior. And he's doing something because, as Paul says, we are grafted into Israel, the original Israel. We're grafted in. All of us are a part of that family.
That's right. Amen.
And the Jews themselves have to come to the awareness of who the Messiah really is.
Amen.
And it's going to happen, hopefully, in our time, so we'll see it. And that's where all of this kind of culminates, is we got to bring it all together, that it's not just America that knows Jesus, but the nations, which is more than one nation, and the people that God originally used to bring forth the Savior. They have to all be brought back together. And that's the process of what God is doing on the earth. And all of these things that are going on are showing us that He's still in control.
So Mike, again this weekend, it makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck. I'm sorry. But again this weekend, God bless him, we heard a speaker who was a Messianic Jew. That makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck. I'm a Messianic German. I'm a Messianic American. I'm a Messianic whatever. You understand? We still have in our mindset that this is somehow a special people. Lord doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants everybody to come in. And he ain't any happier when a Jew comes in than when an Ethiopian comes in. Anybody that comes in, there's rejoicing in heaven. It's not saying, hey, we got it. We got a Jew. Yeah, and big celebration now. No, no. And we've been taught through Americanized Zionism to honor the Jewish people. God's promise is to Israel. It's not my promise. It's his promise. He'll fulfill his promise. Yes.
I was sitting about two-thirds of the way back when you made that statement, and I surveyed the people in front of me into the right front. So, about two-thirds of the people I saw them and their reaction to that statement that you made, and it went over. It went over their heads.
Yeah, I believe it did, Larry. I believe it did, because again, of what we've been trained. So, Jared did a great job for us on whatever day that was that we were talking about. That I want to show this because, as I was watching, as we were doing the show, something jumped out at me that I didn't digest till after the show was over. I want to show you something here, okay, Jared? We've got two links at the last two. Go to the dictionary where the first one just says dictionary. Now, guys, look at this. Stay with me here. It's part of the deception I think we're facing. A Semite. Hey, Roger. Oh, he's probably in shaving. We now know what is a Semite. A Semite is a descendant of Shem, right? Noah's son. A Semite is any descendant of Shem. And the dictionary tells us a member of any of various ancient and modern peoples originating in southwestern Asia, including the Akkadians, the Canaanites, the Phoenicians, the Hebrews, and the Arabs. Uh-oh! Now look, second definition, a Jew. Larry, that second one doesn't line up with number one. And then look at this. Now they come back and try to correct it. A member of any of the peoples descended from Shem.
Larry,
eldest son of Noah. Are you guys following me here? Am I making sense? They tell us, first of all these people groups, then they say a Jew. Why do they have to say a Jew? We'll show you why. And then they come back again and say, okay, well, many of them peoples descended from Shem. Hey, Jared, scroll down just a little bit farther. What's the origin of Semite? Late Latin, Greek, Hebrew. Huh? Look at that. 1870 to 1875 is when they came up with that term. Going down. 1875, New Latin, Semita. Late Latin, Sem. Hebrew, Shem. Follow me? That's where the word came from. Now, Jared, let's hit the next one here. This is how they do it to us. So then I looked up anti-Semite because Jared did that. And look at this, a person who discriminates against or is prejudiced or hostile towards Jews. It's a made up word. It's a made up word. It doesn't say anything else about all those other peoples. Just go back to there, Jared. Shouldn't a anti-Semite be a person who discriminates against a member of any of the various ancient and modern peoples, including the Akkadians, the Canaanites, the Phoenicians, the Hebrews, and the Arabs? Yes or no? Am I reading this wrong? So it's a made up term. Jared, go back to anti-Semite. And it's used as a club and as a weapon. It's used as a club and a weapon for us to not do what we've been doing on here, to expose the truth about the origins of Jews and what it's supposed to mean. Scroll on down for me just a little bit there, Jared. What is contemporary example right there? Related forms, anti-Semitic. What's it mean? It's an adjective describing somebody who hates Jews, according to them. Sarah asked me, Larry, did you ask a question to Watchman with a talk on CERN with Anthony? Did you ask a question, Larry? Sarah asked that.
Yes, I did.
She must have heard you. What was the question? Wait a minute. I don't want to lose. We'll come back to that in just a second. Guys, how do you explain what we just threw up on the screen here? Semite, anti-Semite. And what were Semites? They came from Shem. Who was Shem? Son of Noah. And who came out of Noah? Well, all these people groups came out of Noah. How do we end up with anti-Semitic being against the Jews? Nobody knows. It's a weapon. It's weaponized words. Weaponized words. So you can't say or question anything about those who are in positions of authority today who happen to be of the Jewish religion. You're not allowed to say it. If you say it, what are you? You're an anti-Semite. They might as well say that you got a rear end on your nose. That's the worst thing they can ever say about you. You're an anti-Semite. You're a Jewish hater. You're a Jew hater. What are you talking about? That's how they fed it to us. Hey, Rich, you're a Shemite. You are Rich. I love you, man. I don't hate Semites. I don't hate them at all. Cool. Okay, so hang on. I got a little video here. This is only 4 minutes, Jared. It says anti-Semitism. Let me see. It's the very first one, Jared. 4 minutes, anti-Semite. John Kaminsky, I don't know who he is, but I saw this and thought this is pretty good. Go ahead and play this. I can't spell this.
Explain to me what anti-Semitism is, what it's supposed to mean, and what it does to people.
Anti-Semitism is used as a great blockade. When somebody's called an anti-Semite, it's usually because they've asked some question or made some comment about Jewish behavior in some way, shape, or form. And because Jews don't want to discuss that behavior, they call you an anti-Semite for daring to question that Jews do anything bad ever. That's really why it is used. The whole thing about them not being Semites, and 85% of the people in Israel, 85% of the Jews in Israel being of Russian or Polish extraction means they're not Semites. So the word is used to give them some kind of racial grouping which you associate in your mind with a brown-skinned minority, and you group the Jews in there with them. And you've been taught not to pick on black people because they're less well off than we are. So it's designed to create a feeling of brotherhood, actually. Anti-Semitism is designed to create a feeling of brotherhood that the Jews are somehow brothers to the Semites, and the Sephardic Jews are the original Jewish inhabitants of that area, if there were any, certainly the ones who live there now, are Semites. They're Sephardics. They're second-class citizens in Israel as well, because Israel's been taken over by the Ashkenazim, who are essentially Russian. Anytime you say something about Jews, Zionists, Israel, anything with a tangent to Jews that is in a negative light, you're going to be called an anti-Semite by the Jews, because this is the defense mechanism that they use to cover up their crimes and to prevent analysis of the criminal action that has happened, which so very often leads to a Jewish perpetrator. Does that about say what you wanted to hear about anti-Semitism? It's an automatic barometer. When somebody calls you an anti-Semite, they are either a Jew or a philo-Jew, who Eustace Mullins would use the term Shabbaz Goy, which we know means a non-Jew in the pay of the Jews, working for the Jews, spouting the Jewish philosophy, which many people endorse, because the Jewish philosophy is, how did Franz Seiler describe it the other day? It is an excuse to commit crimes. That's all it is. You put all your morals aside and you can do anything. That's the Jewish philosophy. And of course, the other part of it, for the people who actually are Jewish and following the dictates of the Talmud, believe that they are better than everybody else, and they act accordingly, and we see the horror in the world that is generated by that insanity.
Okay, I hope we can get on the air tomorrow, because you're not allowed to say, you're not allowed to say that. You're not allowed to say that, okay? So as we go back and we begin to open this thing up and crack this thing open, we're going to begin to see why some of the things that are going on in America. Remember, guys, Jesus warned us about those who are of the synagogue of Satan. Paul warned us of those who say they are Jews and are not, right? Why would he even put it in there if he didn't want us to be not deceived? Be not deceived. A couple minutes. Somebody help me bring this thing home. It's been a good show. Nobody? Roger, are you spellbound?
Yeah. Well, one thing I'd like to throw in here is that, and this was a sense of most of the people, almost, I dare say all of the people that I had conversations with over the weekend. And that was what you've already mentioned in this show, that, wow, there's so much information out there, and it is vital information in one aspect, but what do you do with it? It's not really vital information unless you can act on it. What action can we take? Another, some things that we can't prevent. Some things are in process. We can't prevent it. There's no way that we can stop it. Now, God Almighty, in his omnipotence, could come down and put a stop to it and stuff. But we know he's not going to, because his word reveals that the things that they're trying to work for are going to happen.
Amen. But Larry, so, it does go to motive. It does go, all that stuff that we've seen, it all goes to motive and shows us the multi-dimensional, multi-faceted attack and approach of the enemy, and how organized the enemy is in his destruction, in his goal to destroy Christ and Christ's people. Many different directions. This is bigger than just
all this information. What is the impact on our lives, and how should it affect our motives? And I personally am becoming more and more convinced that it is the information is simply beneficial in motivating me individually to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit and to be more obedient and ready to bring the truth to those I meet, so that more people, the Holy Spirit can use me to help lead more people into the kingdom. And you know, I learned a long time ago. I thought when I first got the calling on my life, man, I'm going to get into churches and I'm going to get real famous and big and all that. I learned a long time ago, as far as I know, it hadn't changed. My purpose is to be open to the Holy Spirit, and that one person here, that couple of people there,
drop the
Amen.
Truth.
So, Larry, I have this discussion. We're about out of time. I have this discussion with my wife every once in a while. When I find out somebody has betrayed me or said something behind my back, you guys know what I'm talking about. That happens to all of us all the time. And she'll always say, honey, you need to say something to them. And I say, oh, no. I don't need to say anything, honey. But now I know. Now I know. And so that's what I'm saying about all this stuff. Now I know. Now it's making sense to me. I'm not going to say something to everybody about it, but now I know. It's starting to make more and more sense to me every day. Good show today. Appreciate all you guys, all of you listening. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.